Before we get to the podcast, I wanted to make sure that you knew that my online knee course with Lenny Macrina is on sale for $200 off this week. If you want to learn exactly how to evaluate and treat the knee, you're going to love our comprehensive course where we cover our clinical examination, exercise progressions, and specific information on ACL, meniscus, patellofemoral, articular cartilage, osteoarthritis, and so much more. Plus, you can earn a ton of CEU credit. The course is on sale this week for $200 off. Head to MikeReinold.com/knee for more information and to sign up today. On this episode of the Ask Mike Reinold Show, we have a very special guest, the one and only Tony Gentilcore.
The Ask Mike Reinold Show. Helping people feel better, move better, and perform better.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Ask Mike Reinold Show. We have a very, very, very special episode today. We have a...
What?
Look at that. How many times did I say very?
Very.
The more times you say very, the more very...
You could have just said it with wicked special guest.
Wicked. Lenny says wicked.
Sum it up right there.
We have a special guest today, Tony Gentilcore. Hello. In the house. We are super excited to have him, but Tony and I, good friends, we've been talking about this for a while, but Tony, you've been listening to the podcast?
Of course, I love it. I sit at home, I'm checking Twitter, and I see the new podcast go up, I watch it, I love it. Doing a good job with it.
So
hence why I wanted to come on. I wanted to be part of the party.
Well, we wanted to share it too because we've got some questions about deadlifts today.
Not biceps? Come on.
Tony's here, you know, another local guy here, great strength coach. Tony, where can we find out more about you?
Home base for me is TonyGentilcore.com. That's articles, blogs, services, everything like that. So my pictures of my cat.
Nice.
Everything you ever want about me is on my website.
So, and what are you doing now?
I am basically subleasing space, a small space in Brookline, and training a lot more general pop clients now, which is kind of refreshing. Trained pro athletes for the past, you know, 7-8 years, which is still great, but kind of going back to my grassroots a little bit and get a little bit more variety with coaching people. So, and I'm training out of there, doing semi-private. I'll train 2 to 4 people at a time, write their programs, they get after it, listen to electric music, and let's do some fist pumps and go.
Yeah, lots of techno going on.
Yes.
Lots of techno. That was the biggest thing. So,
well, I hear at Cresty, now that I'm not there, you know, I'll make a cameo here and there, that the music's not quite as on point as when I was there.
I don't know what the definition of on point is. So I'll tell you from my experience at Cresty Performance, we have gone from what I like. Eric and I think are on the same page,
right,
with the hard
Lincoln
rock.
Park and,
oh, I want a deadlift to Disturbed. I don't want a deadlift to techno elevator music.
Yeah, or you know, or old school hip hop, Tribe, Wu Tang.
I'll give you that. A little Cypress Hill.
Yeah, I like a little.
I like it. All right, good episode. So Tony's gonna join us here on this one. We got Lenny Macrina, Dave Tilley, Kiefer Lammy. Everybody's in the house. We got Nick. Nick is joining us again, Sir Nick-a-lot. Sir Nick-a-lot, right?
Because he can't be.
Sir Nick-a-lot.
I'm just going fast. So obviously, Sir Nick-a-lot's in the house, but Nick, PT student from BU, is here to join us. So let's get started, Nick.
All right, first question, David from Madrid, Spain. Should an athlete squeeze the glutes hard at the top of the squat and deadlift, or could it create some dangerous lumbar flexion?
Whoa, so we've got a glute.
That's a deep one.
Does squeezing your glutes hard at the top of a, let's just say deadlift or whatever,
right,
cause problems with your back?
I don't think so. I mean, I think people need to use their glutes. I do think people tend to overcompensate and they're trying to win and they're like squeezing for all death at the top, which can cause a bunch of problems moving forward. But, you know, I definitely don't feel like people need to, it's going to hurt their back or anything like that.
I'm squeezing my glutes really hard right now. I'm okay.
Lenny's going to make
I'm
it.
Good.
Lenny McCrean, everyone.
Good.
So, all right, let me ask you guys, Kiefer and Tony, then. Is that a coaching cue? Do you tell them to squeeze their glutes at the top?
Oh, man, it depends. I mean, certainly, I mean, I'm a very hands-on coach. So, I mean, there's a little bit of, you know,
hands
predetermined poking, yeah, you know, like,
that's right.
You know, within reason, like, you know, it's PG-13, so
it's not
nothing creepy, right, no. But I mean, certainly if I've had clients and athletes in who aren't engaging their glutes to the top capacity, I might say, hey, you know, finish tall, squeeze walnut, you know. But at the same time, Dr. Evan Osar out in Chicago, he talks a lot about people over tensing their glutes and causing a lot of tone and, you know, getting a little bit more T-spine, TL junction issues going on. So, right. You know, I guess it's, again, it depends.
Yeah.
But he firmed.
Yeah.
I think there's kind of a difference. Like, we use the cue for somebody that might not be finishing all the way through the deadlift, where it's like, I think his question is it an issue of going into lumbar flexion? Like, that's a little bit different than squeezing your butt together at the top. If you're having somebody come all the way through.
Which sure seems like lumbar
extension. Yeah, that's what I'm right. That's an aggressive glute squeeze if you're going right into play. If you're going all the way through,
there's spiraling.
There's another problem going on.
Yeah. So, I, that's true. I just, my head was thinking lumbar extension, but another thing to consider biomechanically here too is that, remember, there's two motions here. The hip extends and the back extends. They kind of do it together. So perhaps you have some mobility restrictions with hip extension. You might be overcompensating with your low back. But I guess you want to fully squeeze the glutes to get the full motion out of it, but not compensate and then go extra with back extension.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Maybe,
I agree with that.
Maybe that's the answer. Up. I don't know. Yeah. So, yeah, no, yeah, that was good. All right, Nick.
All right, Mark. Mark from California. He says he's really enjoying the show so far.
Thanks,
that's,
Mark.
That's nice. Any suggestions for transitioning from insurance-based practice to cash-based? What marketing approaches do patients seem to respond to well and not so well?
What marketing approaches do patients seem to respond to well to transition from insurance to cash? So I'm going to jump right in and just say, It's not marketing. It's outcomes. It's what you give. It's a service-based industry. If you're jumping in and you think you need a marketing scheme for your cash-based practice, I think you've jumped a step. I think it's about good outcomes, good care, good work with people, and then with cash-based service for PT, it's all about internal stuff. It's about having connections with people like Tony that know that we can help some of his clients, and we share clients and. You know, stuff like that, right? Like, I think if you're worried about marketing for cash base, I think it's your outcomes. But Len,
yeah, we don't really. This is gonna sound weird, but we don't really market. Like, we're not throwing stuff out on Facebook for PT. We're not going out and trying to go crazy with a crazy marketing budget. It's word of mouth. It's having a good base, good relationship with strength coaches, personal trainers, and docs as well. But our primary referral source. These guys like Tony and area strength coaches that trust us, clients see that they get better with us, and it shows value. And then they talk to their friends and say, no, you got to go there because they're going to get you better in this amount of time, or they do this stuff, they do these techniques, and they go back to the strength coach and say, I had a great experience. You need to send more people to those guys. So
just give better buttons. Dave, you just made the transition from insurance to cash base with joining us here at Champion. What was your biggest? His caseload's full in like 2 weeks. How'd you market that?
I didn't really. I mean, like Lenny said, I think the biggest thing is you provide a good service and you be like, people actually know that you care about them and you want to get them better, then you're there for them. Accessibility is a huge one we talked about. Is like, now, so I'm more available via email, text message. You know, if people need something, comes up. If I see you once a week and something comes up halfway in the week, like, they really enjoy when, like, oh, well, I'll just text Dave real quick and be like, hey, what should I do for this? So I think people really value that relationship. And I think like the environment we provide here is all encompassing. We want to help you as much as we can. I found that I didn't need to market a lot because my niche is again, my niche is very close connected. So gymnasts talk, they see each other, like gymnasts competing with each other and come to Champion and see, oh, hey, like, I didn't know you come here, and word kind of spreads. So, good service, be available.
Makes sense.
Don't kill anybody.
Tony, you're in a cash-based service, too. Yeah. This isn't just physical therapy. I mean,
or hugs. I'll take a hug.
I'm going to remember that.
That'll be 25 minutes. Oh,
how do you market?
Well, I've been in the industry for about 14 years.
Exactly.
So,
you don't want
it. Honestly, like, when I was at Cressy Sports Performance, we had intern classes come in, 3 intern classes a year. And almost inevitably, they would be like, how do I get to where you are today? And I'm like, I'm in year 13, 14, and I feel like I'm only now just starting to get it. But really, it is, you got to be good at what you do. You know, I think, you know, I write individualized programming. I do thorough assessments. I talk movies. I treat people like human beings. I don't see them as like just like a number to get through the door. And the business model here very well. Like, you guys spend time with your clients. It isn't just like 10 minutes and gone. Like, you know, that people respond to that and they get results. And that is your marketing. Like, you get people results, you get them out of pain, you get them throwing harder, you get them lifting more weight. Like, they're when the topic of, hey, where do I go to get X results? They're going to say, hey, my guy is pretty good. That his team is pretty good. I mean, yeah, we live in an age where social media is kind of a thing. Well, it's a very big thing. I just feel like people gravitate to that right out of the gate when it is a little bit more organic, where you get people results and you know. It's really a very unsexy answer. I apologize, but
I agree. It's not marketing. Yeah. It's unmarketing. Isn't that a book? It's not marketing. It's about doing the right thing, I guess. But.
Yeah.
All right, Nick. Right. What's our third one?
Last one. Christine from Maryland asked: NSCA CSCS or NASMPS?
Ooh, okay.
Which certification would you recommend, or is better investment?
All right, so NSCA versus NASM for certification.
Battle here.
Let's do who's what here? Tony, what are you?
I'm CSCS.
I'm soon to be.
CSCS.
I'm CSCS.
I think we're all CSCS.
I'm CSCS.
CSCS. I'm actually both. I'm the whatever the performance. I don't even know what they are.
And technically, I started as a CPT. Like, I got a CPT.
I'm an LOL.
What's that?
Yeah.
And CPT is through the
NSCA. Through
the NSCA.
Yeah.
I guess. And then you went to CSCS.
Yeah.
And so I actually have them both. So I've actually been through both of them. So correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like the golds, they're all awesome, mm-hmm. and I think they're both great options. We should say that. The gold standard, I think, tends to be the CSCS. I don't know if that's still true.
Yeah, it was when I was in college. We were all.
But also, I think it depends if, like, if you're not going to, I feel like if you're not going to be working with athletes, then it's kind of a moot point.
Right.
I think that's what the CSCS is kind of catered a little bit for, high performance athletic types.
Right.
I mean, I started CPT out of the gate, and I was that for 5 years before I got my CSCS, when I knew I was going to be working with more athletes. And I did fine. Like,
right.
People still read my stuff, got coached by me. I still did work with athletes, even though I wasn't a CSCS, but
right.
I figured it definitely helps to have those letters next to your name when you know you're going to be working with an athletic population, because they know that that's kind of what to look for.
That's a good point. The CSCS is definitely more well-known.
Right. Sure.
That's a good point. That's a good point. So me going through NASM's stuff, make sure I got those letters right. I would say what they're good at is going, like, so I did the performance enhancement specialist and the corrective exercise specialist. So just right there, that's a little niche-y, right? Like, they kind of, it's almost like those were additional things. So, I think NASM's fine too, and I think it's definitely getting well done. They're both going to prepare you to do a very good job. I think that's a good way of saying it. So, I mean, definitely pros and cons to both. And then, you know, I don't know if either of them are necessarily going to give you the magic of...
They're just more rigorous. Like, I feel like NSCA requires a degree to even take the test.
That's a good point.
Which, you know, as opposed to just taking a weekend course somewhere on the internet.
Right.
So there's a higher barrier to entry with those types of certifications compared to a lot of other ones that people get.
Yeah, makes sense.
I don't think you can go wrong with either one. I think you just need to cater it to the demographic you know that you're going to be working with and what will be the better fit.
Well said. So, awesome.
Boom.
Well,
nailed it.
Thank you guys, and thank you to Tony Gentilcore, everyone. Great round of applause, everybody.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you to Tony for joining us on this week's episode. So join us. Keep asking us some great questions. MikeReynolds.com and send us your stuff. Click on the podcast link. And hopefully we'll keep doing this and doing some good episodes. So thank you so much.
Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, head to MikeReynolds.com/podcast and fill out the form to submit your question. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And please share this with your friends to help spread the word. It would really mean so much to us. Please check out all my online courses, articles, newsletter, and more at MikeReynolds.com. There's always a ton of great perks for my newsletter subscribers. And be sure to check for my other podcast, the Sports Physical Therapy Podcast, where I go deep into topics and interview leaders within our field. See you on the next episode.